This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will be a help and a blessing to you. If you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and my website address at the close of the program. You may want to go to my website to re-listen to the program, to download it to your computer. You may want to read my weekly meditation there. You may want to contact me in order to get on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time. So if you want to contact me, or if you would like to use the material on the website, you'll need to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now today we're ready to go into Luke chapter 7, and we're going to talk about a centurion, that is, a man who was in the Roman army, who had charge over 100 soldiers. And it's interesting that we would talk about a centurion or a Roman soldier on Memorial Day weekend. This is a day when we generally remember those who have fought and died in wars to keep us free. And so our passage today is dealing with a soldier who is not memorialized for his feats in war, but who is memorialized in the scriptures for his great faith in the Lord. As a matter of fact, as we read through the passage, we'll find he's not only not memorialized for his great feats in war, the thing that the Jews remembered him for was the fact that he had built them a synagogue. So it's probably true that the man was a proselyte to the Jewish religion and believed in Jehovah in a way, in a more personal way, perhaps, than even those who were Jews believed in Jehovah. And so while he built the synagogue, and because of that, as we read the story, we'll find out that the Jews felt he was worthy of the Lord's blessing, yet he himself did not feel himself worthy, and he just throwed himself on the mercy of the Lord in order to have the help of the Lord in healing his sick servant. So while this is Memorial Day, we do want to thank the Lord for those who have been willing to be soldiers and who have died in wars to keep us free. We certainly don't thank the Lord for the wars, but we do have to thank the Lord for those who have been willing to be patriotic and who have been willing to give their lives in many cases. And in many cases, they've given their health for the sake of the rest of us. And I just am always conflicted when we think about Memorial Day weekend or Veterans Day weekend. I'm always conflicted because we know that war represents one of the most evil aspects of human nature, but yet we're thankful for the patriotism and the self-sacrifice that's associated with those who give their lives in this evil machinery that Satan has set up, who give their lives so that the rest of us can worship the way we want to. And that's one of the freedoms that we have. And we are truly thankful today that we have the ability to read our Bibles. We have the ability to talk publicly about the Lord Jesus. There are certain places where that is perhaps not able to be done as freely as we would like, but we can pretty much freely talk about the Lord Jesus personally and publicly. And that's one of the freedoms that we should thank the Lord for on this Memorial Day weekend. I don't thank the Lord that there were 5 Sullivan brothers who lost their lives in, I believe it was World War II. We memorialize them here in Waterloo, and you over there in the Greenfield area have memorialized them on that Freedom Rock. And it's not good that 5 brothers had to lose their lives in war, but it is good that they were willing to lose their lives in war in order that we might today be able to preach the gospel over the air in the way that we do. Now, today I want to read then from Luke chapter 7 and verse 1, where it says, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum." And at the end of the last chapter, he had spent some time asking why they called him Lord, Lord, and did not do the things that he said. And he asked the question, are we building on the sand, on a sandy foundation, or are we building on a good foundation upon a rock? And the good foundation, of course, is the sayings of the Lord. More than that, it's the Lord himself. Now, the centurion was building on the rock. So when he had finished all these sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loves our nation, and he has built us a synagogue, that is a Jewish place of worship, really a Jewish place of teaching, when they are not at Jerusalem. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Now the Jews thought he was worthy, but he says, I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am also a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. It does appear that all the Lord had to do was say the word, and the servant was healed. He didn't have to come and go through an ornate ceremony, but the centurion had believed in the Lord, and the Lord had spoken the word, the same word that had the power to bring the worlds into existence, the same word that we hear when we read the word of God, and the Lord speaks to us and says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The same word that has power to save us had the power to heal that centurion's servant. Now, as I look at this passage, I notice then that the idea of being worthy is an important aspect of the passage. And most people who think about going to heaven, if you're asking them, how do you expect to get into heaven? They say, well, I've tried to be a good person. I know that I've done some bad, but I hope I am worthy. And in a sense, they feel as though God should honor their good works and should honor them. Now, I have no doubt that this soldier had done many good works. Building that synagogue, I would guess, was a good work. But I am also sure that he had on his conscience the blood of men that he had killed in war. And likely that bothered him, even though he was doing it as a man under authority, that he was carrying out orders when he would be involved in a battle. Yet, I'm told that if you actually see the person that dies as a result of an instrument of war that you're carrying, whether it be a rifle or a gun, or whether it be a sword or whatever, if you actually see it, it's something that you'll never put out of your mind. I hope that I never have to be involved in such a thing, that I never have to see it. While I have trouble reconciling war with the Sermon on the Mount and the principles of the Sermon on the Mount, yet I am sure that if somebody were ever to come into my home and were to forcibly defend my family, if they were threatening them, I am sure that if I had the possibility of maiming or even killing a person like that, I would do it, even though I would realize that Satan was at work in all that was taking place. But I'm sure that I would never be able to forget the fact that I had taken an eternal soul and put it into eternity, and if that soul was lost, and likely it would be, or they would not be threatening other people, if that soul was lost, that person would be in hell for the endless ages of eternity. And that would haunt me the rest of my life if I had to do something like that. And I suspect that there was blood on the hands of this soldier, legitimate blood in a sense, but nevertheless blood. And I'm sure that that's one of the reasons he said, I am not worthy. And I wish we could all get a hold of the fact that while our sins might not be the sins of a soldier, we have sins that make us unworthy of the least of God's mercies, and yet he has provided the greatest of his mercies for us. He has provided his son to be a sacrifice for our sins, but we can't approach him as though he owes us salvation. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and this man himself did not feel that he was worthy. And yet he had a servant that was sick, and there was love in his heart for this servant. And so he sends to the Lord and asks him to heal his servant. But he says, you don't need to come. All you need to do is speak the word. Think of the faith that represented. In the Old Testament, there was a man by the name of Naaman who wanted to be healed of leprosy, but when he was told to go wash in the Jordan seven times in the Jordan River, he said, "Oh no, the prophet should have come and done some great ceremony. He should have done some great thing. I'm not going to wash in the Jordan River." But when he found out that when his servants finally convinced him to go ahead and wash in the Jordan River, it wouldn't hurt to try it, he came back healed. And so this centurion had gotten beyond the point that Naaman was at in the Old Testament. He didn't want the Lord to do some great ceremony. He just wanted him to speak the word. And folks, faith still comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we need to hear his word. And his word is loving and kind, and it will heal us. It will save us from our sins. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls for my yoke. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And the Lord provides for us the rest that the Sabbath pictured, when we actually come to him and rest on a finished work that has been done for us, not because we deserve it, but because he loves us and has provided for us. And so the Lord again says that he has not found so great a faith, no, not in all of Israel. In other words, the Jews don't have the kind of faith that this man had, and yet we do know that there were Jews that had that kind of faith, because they're listed in Hebrews chapter 11. The heroes of the faith are listed there, and I am sure that if Hebrews chapter 11 were written about Gentiles, this man's name would have gone into that roster as well, because he knew who to go to, and he knew all about authority, and he knew the Lord had authority to do something that he did not have authority to do. The Lord had authority over the demons. He had authority over illness. The Lord had authority even over this sick servant of his. And so he says, I'm a man of authority. I know what it is to tell people to do things and they do it, but I can't do this. I don't have authority in this area. But the Lord, of course, did have authority to heal his servant, and he did heal him. And so when we look at the faith of this servant, it was great faith because of the person that he had his faith in. We reminded you even, I think, last time how that George Mueller was asked about his great faith when he was taking care of orphans, and he had no commitment from anybody to meet his financial needs, and he just waited on the Lord to meet them. And they said, "George, where did you get such great faith?" And he says, "I don't have great faith. I have a little faith in a great God." And we need to be reminded constantly that our God is great, and that if we trust him, if we believe in him, he performs his promises. And one of his promises is that if we believe or trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us, that we will be delivered from the penalty that our sins deserve. He cannot save us from the wars that are going on around us at this time, but he can save us from the penalty that we deserve because of our sins. And so, friend, trust him if you haven't. We thank the Lord for him. We thank the Lord for everyone who has trusted in him. And even today, oh, Heavenly Father, bless those who are listening, who are not really forgiven, who have not really trusted in the Lord Jesus, and just help them to believe what God has said, that if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be saved. We commit ourselves to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.